They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord."
Well, we're gathered together this morning at harvest time, and it's great to be together. Harvest is a time when we thank God for all that he provides. I've noticed some people have already brought some things in and put them on the tables at the back. I had a quick look. Don't worry, I haven't stolen these for my lunch later. But we've got some baked beans here. So we could put them on the, let's put them on the front up here. Baked beans. Put your hand up if you like baked beans. Oh yeah, lots of people like baked beans. Someone's brought some Kit Kat Bites to give away. Put your hand if you like. Your hand's gone up straight away already for Kit Kat. Fine, great. And I noticed as well, this is quite, look at this, quinoa and whole grain rice. Well, how about that? Hands up if you like quinoa, not so sure what it is. Who knows what it is? You like quinoa, do you, over here? Terrific, good. Well, someone's brought some quinoa and whole grain rice to give away to those who need. And who can see all of these lovely things that people have put up the front here? Who can spot anything at the front here? What's this? What's that? Not quite an apple. There are some apples here. What's that? That's a potato. Who knows what these are over here? Grapes. There's some grapes and an orange. Brilliant. Brilliant. Lots of things that we've got at the front here. And they're all things that God gives to us. And what we're thinking about this morning is that God provides. Should we all say that together? God provides. Now that word provides, that means that God gives us what we need. God gives to us what we need. Now some of you, I don't know if you're old enough yet, some of you might get pocket money. And if your parents give you pocket money, that's a way of them giving you something that you might need. It's a way of God. You see, God provides for us. That's what we're going to think about this morning. And we just had read our true story from the Bible. I want all of the adults and the other children who are sitting in their seats just to find their Bibles and make sure that you're open at Exodus chapter 16. And it's our true story from the Bible, and it comes from the Old Testament. And Nick's going to help us with our TV screen to see what happened in the story. So Nick's going to come up. Nick, could you just move that back a little bit, just so that those in the corner can see there? That's great. And let's see what happened in the story. And the first thing that we've got is this. That's great. Nick's going to put that up on the TV screen. And I wonder if you can see that. First of all, God's people, we're told, had just come out of the land of Egypt. Does anyone know what that is up there? What's that? A pyramid. That's a pyramid. That shows that the people had come out of the land of Egypt. And they had been for quite a long time in something called the wilderness. Now, the wilderness is a place that is full of sand. They'd been in a desert. There they are. Everyone see that? They'd been in the desert full of sand. It had been hot. It had been tiring. And they had sand everywhere. They had sand in their hair. They had sand in their clothes. They had sand in their shoes. They had sand everywhere. And do you know what happened next? The next thing that happened was they started to grumble. Grumble. Do you ever grumble? Do you know what a grumble sounds like? It sounds a bit like this. Oh, I get really grumbly about things. Now, usually, and I imagine this is what happened, usually grumbling just starts with one person and then it spreads. I can't imagine that they all spontaneously just started to grumble. I imagine that one person probably just started to grumble. And then a second person started to grumble. And very soon, we're told, that it had spread in verse 2 through the whole congregation. A whole group of people walking through the desert going, ugh, grumbling. A bit like, I imagine, maybe, do you ever do this? You're in the back seat of the car. Maybe you're next to your brother or your sister. And one of you starts to grumble. One of you starts to say, what do you say in a car? Say, are we nearly there yet? Do you say that? Do you ever say that? Yeah, you say, are we nearly there yet? And one of you says it, and then the other says it, and soon you have a whole car full of grumbling people. It can be just like that with us, sadly. It can be just like that with God's people, if we're not careful. And I wonder if the adults can spot what they grumbled about. People who've got a Bible, wonder if you can spot what they grumble. Anyone remember what they wanted to have? Do you remember? They wanted to have food. Let's see what they wanted. First of all, they said in verse 3, if only we were sitting by the, here we go, the meat pots. Where's the meat? There's the meat. You turn that around so everyone can see. The meat pots of Egypt. If only we could be back with the meat. Or they said, oh, if only we had bread to the full. Remember those days when we used to have bread and they grumbled and they grumbled. And I wonder if those who've got a Bible can notice that they were really grumbling against God. We're told that in verse 7. It was against the Lord. In verse 8. It was against the Lord. Verse 8 at the end. Your grumbling is not against Moses and Aaron. It's against God. Is very serious to grumble against God. And we can do that as well. We might say, well, other people have got bigger houses or they've got really smart trainers. I wish I had trainers like them. And we can grumble and forget to be thankful to God. And when I do that, it's usually because I compare up rather than comparing down. Do you do that? You forget all of the good things that we have. We look at other people. And we forget the things that we actually have. And we forget to thank God. And so harvest is a good time for all of us to thank God. And in our true story in the Bible, I wonder if everyone can see that God did provide for his people, even in the wilderness. Let's have that. And I know some of you on the back of your sheet might have something you can fill in. If you can find a pen, you might want to fill in our first heading, which is that God provides. And in our true story from the Bible, God provided from heaven. And he provided something called manna. He provided manna for the people. Now, we don't have a visual for manna. Quite hard to draw. But later on in the passage, some people might see that when the people of Israel saw it in verse 15, they said to each other, what is it? They'd never seen anything like it before. God provided, he rained down bread from heaven. And they said, well, what is it? So the closest that I can do, can you see this here, children? It's a packet of What's It. Can you see that? What is it? What's it? That's what they said. They said, what's it? He says, what's it? These are the very first what's it's that were ever in the Bible, ever in existence. They say, what's it? And the what's it's came down from heaven and they covered the floor. I'm going to confuse you on it. They probably didn't taste like this. They probably weren't cheesy. But they were a mystery. They'd never seen it before. But God provided for them bread in the desert. God provided for them. It was God who provided. We're told that in verse 6. It was the Lord. Verse 7. You shall see the glory of the Lord when he provides for you. God provides. They weren't to thank the manna. Bit like you don't thank your birthday cake when it arrives. You thank your mummy or your daddy, don't you? When the birthday cake arrives, you don't say, oh, thank you, birthday cake. They didn't thank the manna. It was God who provides. It's always God who provides. And we're going to play a little game to help us to understand this. It's a game that Nick and I have invented called Who is the Giver Behind the Giver? It's a game called Who is the Giver Behind the Giver? What you have to do is you have to spot who's the original giver and who's the giver who's going out there. So I'm going to, in this little scene, I'm going to play the part of God. And I want you to watch. I've got some little gold coins here. Don't worry, there should be enough for everyone who's down the front here afterwards. But what I want you to do is I want you to watch very carefully who starts with the gold coin and who's the person that we give it to and who's the giver behind the giver. So here's our first person. Nick, can you put your action on? Can anyone guess who this person is? Anyone guess? Who's that? They probably don't wear these days. A bowler hat. Anyone know? That is the Captain Mannering from Dad's Army. Alex was watching Dad's Army last night. The bank manager. It's the bank manager. So, Nick's going to play the part of the bank manager. Imagine a bank manager, and he's going to go and give that to one of the adults out there so that we don't have chaos at the front by giving it out to the children. Here, there we go. I was giving it to over there. Great. Now, here, that was the bank manager. But can anyone tell me who was the giver behind the giver? Anyone tell me who was the giver behind the giver? Who started the giving off? Here's a clue. Who started the giving off? Who was the giver behind the giver? To the bank manager. And who was that? Who was that? If I got it the right way around, who was that? Who does that say? The bank manager was the person who gave it. Who was the person behind it? Who started with it? God started with it. Okay, watch again. It's okay. We're going to get the hang of this. Don't worry. We're going to do it a few times. Okay, here's our second one. Okay. Nick's now playing the part of nature. There's the sun, isn't there? Okay. Just watch carefully. Watch carefully. Watch where the money starts. Who's the giver behind the giver? Who's the giver behind the giver? So there's the coin. And he's giving it. Ooh, who's it going to? Who's it going to? Over there. Great. Okay. Don't get too distracted by that. Although lots of people do, don't they? They get distracted by nature. They think nature's provided all of this. But they forget. Who was the giver behind the giver? Anyone get that? Who started with the giving? Who was the giver behind the giver? Anyone have a go? Yes. God. That's right. God was the giver behind the giver. Let's try two more. Some of you might be filling this in on your sheet if you're very clever. Nick is now going to play the part of all supermarkets in the country. He's got a plastic bag. He shops at Sainsbury's. So let's imagine Nick's now playing the part of a supermarket. Let's just watch. Who's the giver behind the giver? Here he goes. Who's it going to? It's going to there. Great. Okay. Now we're getting the hang of this. We're much quicker now. Who was the giver behind the giver? God was the giver behind the giver. Let's try one more because we've really got this now. We've got a tie. Nick is now playing the part of the boss, your mum or dad's boss. There we go. Got a smart tie on. And because lots of people, they get their money from the boss, don't they? You get a paycheck, some of you parents, it comes from the boss. And it'd be very easy to think, well, the boss has provided me again this month. Oh, thank goodness for the boss who's provided my money. But let's just watch. Where does your money come from? Who's the giver behind the giver? Let's watch. Off he goes. There goes the boss to give the paycheck to someone. There we go. The boss has given the money. Okay. Who was the giver? Let's try it all together. All together. Who was the giver behind the giver? One, two, three. God. God was the giver behind the giver. That's always the way. God is the giver behind the giver, even when it comes via the hand of others. Lots of us receive many things in life. Sometimes they come through someone else, the bank, supermarket, nature and the harvest. Or what was the last one I've forgotten? The boss. But all of these things come from God. And we're going to learn our second thing today from the story, the true story from the Bible that we had. The first thing we learned was that God provided. Behind every giver is God. It's God who provides. But in our story, I want adults and children who've got Bibles to open their Bible again to Exodus 16 on page 70. And I want you to notice something slightly odd. God provided. He did an amazing miracle for the people when they were in the desert. But the odd thing was, even though he provided so brilliantly in such a big way, he provided for them one day at a time. So if you're filling in the gaps on our TV screen, we can do this. If you've got fill in the gaps, you could fill that gap in. God provided, but he provided one day at a time. Let me show you. It's in verse 4. For those looking at a Bible, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven to you, and the people should go out and gather a day's portion every day. The people had to go out into the desert every day. So on a Monday morning, out they went into the desert and they collected their portion for that day. On the Tuesday, they went out into the desert and they collected enough manna and bread for that day. And do you know what? When they did try and gather a bit more and stuff some in their pockets, it went off. It went all moldy and there were worms all over it. It was horrible. Because God wanted to teach his people a really important lesson. God wanted all of his people to know that God provides for us one day at a time. That is how God works. He provided for his people and he provides for us one day at a time. Now, when we get to the New Testament, we see something very interesting. We see that Jesus is God's provision from heaven for us. In John chapter 6, verse 32, I'll read this to you. Those adults who are there may want to see this. That Jesus said, truly I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but the Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Jesus was like the bread from heaven that came down to provide for us everything that we need. And here's how he did it. There's the cross on our TV screen. Can everyone see the cross on the TV screen? Jesus was the bread from heaven. God in Jesus has provided everything that we need in this life and the one to come. He's provided forgiveness for us, cleansing, hope, new life. Everything we have is provided for us in Jesus. And yet Jesus also said this on the screen. Can we have this, Toby? He taught us the Lord's Prayer. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Then he said this, pray this, give us each day our daily bread. He taught us to trust God and to pray for the big picture of his kingdom. But when it comes to trusting God for what we need to serve him in this world, although we have everything in Jesus, he says, pray for your daily bread. To serve God, the breath, the food, the energy, the courage, every day. One day at a time. You see, Jesus didn't say, pray that God would give you your annual bread. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Annual bread, off you go for a year. Jesus didn't say, pray that God will give you your monthly bread or your weekly bread. He taught his followers to pray for daily bread because God provides for us one day at a time. Now, I've got a question, and we're going to learn the answer together. And the question is, why would God do it this way? Why would God do it this way? He could have given his people in the desert all of the bread that they needed for the rest of the time in their desert, couldn't he? But God wants a relationship with his people. So here's what we're going to imagine. Nick's going to help us with this. I want you to imagine that we have here a year's supply of chocolate. Oh, imagine that, a year's supply of chocolate. Some of you who are chocoholics are thinking, that wouldn't last me a year, that's just a week. That's just a day for me. Well, for me, maybe. This is a year's supply of chocolate. Imagine you had a year's supply of chocolate. Now, I could give this year's supply of chocolate to Nick in two ways. The first is I could give to Nick the whole year's supply of chocolate all at once now. And he could take it away and he could put it in the freezer and store it away. Let's see what happens when we do this. Nick, here's your year's supply of chocolate. I'll see you in a year's time. Off you go. Nick's going to head off. That's great. And he's probably got a freezer at the back, and he's going to do that. And then a year would go by, and I'd sit, and I'd wait, and we'd wait. And then maybe in a year's time, Nick would come back. So that's what would happen if I gave him the year's supply of chocolate all at the same time. That's the first way I could give him the year's supply of chocolate. Let's think, there's another way I could give him the year's supply of chocolate. Now, I want you to spot the difference between these two things. So Nick, you come back at the front. Let's imagine this time that I give him the year's supply of chocolate, but this time I give it to him one bit at a time every day. Let's try this. So here we go, Nick. It's Monday. Here's your day's supply of chocolate for Monday. Yeah, okay. I'll see you tomorrow. So you head off. Great. I'll see you tomorrow. Great. Nick, you can come back. Great. Good. He's enjoying it. You're liking this job, aren't you? Okay. It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday. So, Nick, here's your supply of chocolate for the day. See you tomorrow. See you tomorrow. See you on Wednesday. Great. You all wanted to have this job, didn't you? Great. Here's Nick again. Hi, Nick. It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday. There's your Wednesday piece of chocolate. Great. Great. Okay. Great. Nick, we said we'd do this three times, but I think you want to do it four times now. Yeah, I thought you'd want to do it a fourth time. So, Nick, here's your Thursday supply of chocolate. Good to see you. Great to see you. See you tomorrow. See you tomorrow, Nick. See you tomorrow. And so it would go on throughout the whole year. Gosh, Nick, you can come to the front now and join us. Now, here's the thing. There were two ways I could give the year's supply of chocolate. Can anyone spot the difference between them? What was the difference? Yeah. That's right. I gave him one chocolate a day. Now, can anyone tell me, in which one did I see Nick more? Have a think. The first or the second? Was it the first? Do you think it was the first? You're shaking your head. It was the second, wasn't it? Do you think it was the second? Because I saw him a lot more, didn't I? He was coming and he was going. I saw him every day for the whole year. Now, do you see? I would have had a much better relationship with Nick over the course of the year if I'd done the second than if I'd done the first. If I'd done the first, I would have said, "See you, Nick. See you at the end of the year. Off you go." Now, do you see? It's the same with God. God provides everything for us in Jesus that we need. But in terms of living life in this world, he provides for us one day at a time. And he does that because he cares most of all about having a friendship with us. Having a relationship where we have to trust him. We might not like that. We might prefer to have the lifetime supply of everything that we need. And do you know what? Some people do that with their lives. They prefer to say to God, "God, I want a lifetime of stuff from you, but I don't want to have a relationship with you at all. Just give me the stuff." And the Bible says that's called sin. We reject God. We want the stuff from him. But we don't want him. And the Bible says that if we realize that that's how we live, that if we sin against God like that, then we need his provision of the cross for us in Jesus. We need to come to him and ask for his forgiveness for the way that we've treated him and pushed him away. But the Bible says that if we've received Jesus as our provision, we still have to trust God one day at a time. And some of us may find that hard because we worry about the future. We worry about what's going to happen. We all do. But God says we can trust him to provide for every future day that will come, because he will provide for each day when we get there. And if he hasn't provided for us yet, it's because we're not yet at that day. But when we get there, he will provide, because he provides for his people one day at a time.